Okay, we had to break this up in two segments. Okay, JT, you was talking about working Sean Hughes.
Yeah, you know, after you know, we did that match, which I enjoyed. Nobody else, you know, any of them were like, "Oh, he sucks" or whatever. Wasn't that he sucked? It was just nobody wanted to work with him. You know, you take a guy that's limited, and you work around that. You can have a good match with anybody if you know how to work. You know, same thing with Rage. Rage was greener than goose shit. But you can pull matches out of guys if you work with them. You know, if you take a guy who's only got two or three things that he does good, you know what you're doing. You can lead that motherfucker around. And you can work a match around those three things. You know, just like I've told people, you know, if I'm playing heel and shit, if you can bowl up your fist and walk towards me, I can put my hands up and back away. I can get you a good 10 minutes just from doing that shit. I can run away every time you get near me.
Right.
We don't have to do a whole lot. But, you know, other favorite matches. I'd have to say that Fatal 4-Way. Where we did a tower suplex, and I always enjoyed working Admiral Payne. As far as bad matches go, there was one time, I think it was me and Tommy Civic against Vinny Violence and Matt Awesome in a Falls Count Anywhere match. And literally that match was so fucking exciting and fun to do that I only remember telling Vinny to pin me against the wall since it's Falls Count Anywhere. Other than that, I don't know shit about that match. I don't even know who won it.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I always enjoyed working JoJo and Bryce. But outside of really bad matches, I'll tell you what, so some of the battle royals that we were in weren't that great. Other than that, it's just been like a lot of minor mishaps that didn't really make the match bad. It just made it hard to work. Case in point, me and Brimstone were doing a ladder match one time. Remember when I wore them big baggy blue Smurf pants?
Yeah.
So Brandon happened to give me a pair of blue tights, and I had never wore tights before, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, right? So I had the tights on underneath them blue pants, and thank God I did, because I was climbing up the ladder and I stepped on the pant leg on the bottom, and I went to step up the next rung with the other leg, and I completely ripped the crotch out of those pants. So thank God I had them tights on, or it would not have been a family show at that point. But I remember Brimstone knocking me off the ladder, and then he fell off, and we're laying there, and I was like, I completely ripped the crotch out of these fucking pants. And then he just proceeds to lay there while he's selling and just starts laughing. But other than that, as far as what was the other question? Guys that I want to work or wouldn't work?
We're getting to that, and that's a three-part question. Who do you like working with? Who do you refuse to work with? And if you get back in the ring, who are some guys you like to work with that you've never worked before?
All right, guys I like working with, like I said, Brimstone, Joe, JoJo, Bryce, Payne, you, Tex, Flint, Steel. Like, I can pull some shit out of that guy, and he can pull some shit out of me. Like, it's funny, real quick, I'll answer the rest of your question, but Steel's legitimately afraid of heights, okay?
Yeah.
But I talked Christian Steel into doing a ladder match with me. And he did a big splash off the ladder onto me. And then he trusted me enough to jump from the turnbuckle to the ladder and then hit him with a sunset flip powerbomb off the ladder. But that man is legitimately afraid of heights, but he was willing to do that with me.
He put that trust into you.
And but during that time frame with them ladder matches, I swear to God, Vinny and them were trying to kill me. Because within 1 year, I worked four or five ladder matches in a row. I think by the time, like as of right now, I think I've currently done nine ladder matches total. Because it just got to the point where I was just like, I need a break. I want to wrestle a regular match.
I would think so.
You know, it's like, hey, I like doing excitement, and it's fun to go and have a match with a ladder sometimes, but that's not me. Like, I'm a wrestler. Like, I'll do some crazy shit here and there, but keep me on the fucking ground for a while. As far as guys that I wouldn't work, the Vinny thing was a one and done, thank God. If he was in the business, there's no fucking way I'd get in the ring with Ellis' stinky ass. I wouldn't work Caleb or Vito, whatever the fuck his name is, because I guarantee you, bell to bell, that shit would turn into a shoot real fast. You know, it'd be like Road Warriors and the Fantastics if we're not going for the finish.
Right.
Guys that I would, if I can come back, guys that I want to work, I'd love to work Hex and Flynn again, whether it's tag or singles. I want to work Steel some more. I want to work Connor Cross. Maybe even Vincent Cross. Vane Lewis. I want to get back in the ring with Brandon. And, you know, maybe down the line we can go around again. And oh, there's one other guy that I have never worked in my entire career. And we've been in multiple promotions together, but there's never been a match one-on-one with us. Or even in a, there might have been a tag, but there's never been a one-on-one. There's never been a JT Storm versus Rob Johnson.
Yeah, I think there was a tag when me and Rob was
tagging. A one-on-one since 2006.
Right.
But the problem was, all them years, I was either just the tag guy, and he was a singles guy, or then I was a singles guy, but he wasn't there, or in the case of Vinny, you know, hey, I'm the top heel, but you know, for whatever fucking reason, because I'm not buddy buddy with you, I never went past mid card or curtain jerking, and then just put all of his friends in the fucking main event.
Yeah.
You know, it never fucking came to fruition. But if everything works out for me, if you know, if Rob's up for it, which you know we've talked a couple times about it, then I'd definitely be down to do a one-on-one JD Storm Rob Johnson.
Okay. What do you see the difference in the business with guys just coming in or just now started compared for when you and I come in?
Well, when we came in, the mindset is different. Like, completely different. Because even back then, when we were all green, okay, and we had that roster that the majority of it was green guys. So, you know, we would bring in, you know, outside talent that were veterans. Every one of us, you know, we just wanted to soak in information. Our goal was we just want to go out and have, you know, good matches. We want to try to steal the show because that's what we're here for.
Right.
You know, and no matter what, it was always a collective group effort to, hey, you know, our goal, you know, amongst ourselves was, I'm going to go have my match, try to top it, you know.
Yeah.
But as a whole collective, it was, let's push this company, not just let's get me over and make me great, or let's get this guy over and make him great. Let's make the entire fucking company good. And, you know, you get a lot of guys that come in nowadays that they just, they get this misconception that professional wrestler equals I'm a millionaire or I'm on TV. And the way you separate the guys at that point from the guys that really want it to the guys that are just trying to make a buck is once they realize you go work fucking indies and you might get paid in fucking pizza. You might barely make gas money. You might not get fucking shit other than a thank you. I'll see you next month.
Right.
And then they realize, well, this ain't for me. Because all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm not making any money. But shit, the gear I want costs over $200. You know, but it's like, you spend the money. You got to, you know, it's a simple rule of business. You got to spend money to make money. If you're not willing to spend the money to look like a professional wrestler and willing to train to actually be a professional wrestler, not just say, oh, I got in the ring one time, so I'm a professional wrestler, it doesn't fucking work that way, kid. You know, if you don't look the part, who gives a fuck? Because here's the thing. You know, you're supposed to, whether, I don't care if it's an indie promotion, I don't care if it's, you know, WWE, AEW, New Japan, whatever. People pay money because they want to watch wrestling and they want to see wrestling stars. If you don't come across like you're a big fucking deal, they ain't going to buy you as a big fucking deal. And if you come through the curtain looking like them, fuck the matter, because you could come through and if you don't have fucking legitimate gear, somebody in that crowd's going to be like, hey, that guy shops at Walmart. I got that same fucking shirt. Well, shit, that guy's no different than I am now. Well, fuck, I could probably get in the ring and do this.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't work that way, and it's just, you got to listen. And another thing is, when we came in, we had patience like motherfuckers. You know, we knew eventually, hey, we're going to get into a ring. Eventually, we're going to get to a show. But we got to learn this shit first.
Right.
You got to learn to crawl before you can walk, and you got to learn to walk before you can run. And there's so many guys that, like, they learn a handful of stuff. And then it's just, get me in a ring. Put me on a show. I want to be in front of a crowd. That's great that you want to be in a ring and you want to be in front of a crowd. That's what we're doing here. But if I put you in a ring in front of a crowd right now, you're going to be the drizzling fucking shits and you're not going to recover from it. You're going to get a stigma of being a guy who don't know what the fuck he's doing and nobody's going to want to work you. Nobody's going to want to book you.
That's true. In 15 years, what titles has JT Storm held?
Let's see. I've been a two-time ICWF Tag Team Champion, a two-time RPW Tag Team Champion, two-time OWO Tag Team Champion, ICWF U.S. Champion, RPW Southeastern Champion, and, you know, this one with the asterisk on it, the OAW Heavyweight Champion.
And whatever title you got off favors, whatever belt that was.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the hell that belt was called.
I can't remember either. I think it's maybe the OAPCW Ohio title. Important,
that is how important having that title was to me.
Yeah, I think it was the OAPCW Ohio Championship, but I could be wrong.
Right. Hell, I didn't even know what promotion that show was for. So,
I think it was a three-way promotion show, RPW, OAPCW, and OAW.
Hey, wait, that reminds me. I have to tell this story or Joe's going to kill me. So there was one of those cross-promotion type shows, okay? I think it was out of Jim Davis's place or something.
Okay.
There was a tag match, and it was me and Joe against Christian Steele and Gator. All right.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going over the match, and Steele says, well, hey, maybe we can pick you up for a double suplex. Okay. And I'll never forget this. Neither will Joe, but Gator looks at Steele and goes, double suplex. And he's trying to think, like, double suplex. So we're like, let's walk through it, make sure we can get this done, right? So Steel hooks me for a suplex. And I shit you not, Gator turns, and he starts picking me up for, like, the fucking attitude adjustment. And I was like, whoa, what are we doing? He goes, double suplex. We're like, yeah, suplex. Why the fuck do you pick me up in the fireman's carry? So Steel shows him the suplex. He goes, oh. And he still couldn't quite get it. So he says, well, I got to go over here and do something. I looked at Steel and I said, you can suplex me all day. He's not fucking touching me. Now, unbeknownst to Joe, I meant what I said when I said he's not fucking touching me. So we're working this match. And Steel's in there. I get in there. Me and Steel just go, right?
Right.
Steel tags in Gator. Gator comes in. I let him get a couple shots on me. I cut him off. I go tagging Joe every fucking time. It looked like I was the most scared person of Gator in the world. Every time he got in the ring, I'd run away on my knees. I'd hug Joe's leg, and I'd tag him, and I'd get the fuck out of the ring. I was like, Joe, that's all you, buddy. You're going to deal with that, not me. And then Joe comes over to tag me one time, and he's bitching to me because Gator ain't connected on nothing. Like, he's got Joe down on the mat, and he's stomping, but he's stomping a foot away from Joe. So he's just stomping the mat. And Joe said, I remember laying there going, why am I just selling sound? Like, he's not even touching with it. Joe comes over to tag me. He's like, he don't even fucking hit me. I can't work like this. So I get back in the ring and I work with Steel. And then Steel tags in Gator. I go tag in Joe. And Steel Joe's getting in the ring. You son of a bitch. And then the only thing I remember after that is there was a kid in the front row who, he didn't say shit to Joe. He just kept giving me problems the whole match, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing the basic, you shut up, I got to work, blah, blah, I got a job to do. This kid just kept riding me. So finally, I turn around, and I look at the kid, and I see this lady sitting beside him. And I go, hey, he goes, is that your mom? Yeah. I go, guess what? I said, I talked to her before the show. You're adopted, and she doesn't love you. And he just, like, fucking froze, like he didn't know what to say. She's covering her fucking face because she's laughing at his reaction. And I was like, now shut up and leave me alone. I got a job to do. I don't remember anything other than the whole deal with Gator and yelling at that kid about that show.
Classic.
But Joe, to this day, he still fucking holds it against me that I wouldn't get in there with Gator. I just kept feeding him to Gator. And he had to go in there and sell fucking wind velocity.
Oh, shit. All right, what's the next chapter for JT Storm?
Oh, well, we're trying to get things in order for F1P, Forge One Pro. We're going to run it completely different than a lot of people have seen certain indies, you know, ran before. Other than that, Joe and myself have been, you know, we've been talking about doing the whole podcast thing, but you know, it's not going to just be straight up interviews. It's just going to be, you know, wrestling in general. Just something to find some time and give us something to do.
Yeah.
As far as those two things, you know, it's just contemplating the whole commentary manager thing and see what happens next with this whole medical situation.
Now, what's going to be your role in F1P?
As of right now, it's, you know, we help do the creative, do the booking, get that stuff, you know, behind the scenes done. And then as far as, you know, in a character type of thing, you know, I'm looking at possibly either doing commentary or, you know, managing.
Well, I'll be forward. If you do the commentary, I'm definitely going to be forward to listen to you call a match. I mean, that's going to be interesting.
Right.
It's going to keep the fans interested, too.
A guy could just do a normal pin, you know, hook the leg, and I could just talk about how he learned that from me. And then, you know, if there's somebody commentating with me, they can just look at me all confused, like, really, you taught him how to pin somebody? Like, it's the hardest thing to do. You go try to hold somebody's shoulders down for 3 minutes or for 3 seconds and see how it goes. It's impossible. But, you know, the most deadly move anymore is the fucking surprise roll-up.
Yeah, I mean, that...
Finger poker doom ain't got shit on that move.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I was just watching What Culture, you know, this morning on YouTube.
Right.
And he was talking about the very roll-up thing on SmackDown, which I don't watch WWE no more. I haven't for a long time. But I did watch WrestleMania 36. I did spend a $9.99 on the one, just so I can say I watched all 36 WrestleManias. Yeah, but yeah, I didn't watch it, but he was talking about, you know, that being the signature thing, and he said it's stupid. But
I do got to do one thing, otherwise I probably hear the end of it because they're probably expecting. Anyway. But you remember when we used to do road trips, right, to different shows?
Yeah.
And then Brimstone would tell me to start doing impressions.
Yeah.
You know, Brimstone, baby, he always loved the dusty roads. You know, we always go, we pull into the windage, we pull to the thing, and I'd be like, hey, baby, Mac and Dream, dusty roads, we're going to get large. We're going to get Dave's double stabby head. Buckshot over here, he wants some french fries, but no, baby, that's for somebody else. We're going to leave it where you're at right now. But the other, you know, the other thing is, you know, everybody likes doing the Macho Man, yeah. Everybody wants to freak out, yeah, on the B podcast, but he's not doing it in front of 93,000 people. He's here just for a cup of coffee in the big time, yeah.
Yep, I remember those. Now, is there any advice you could give to young guys and young gals who want to be in the business or just now starting to be in the business that we're in?
Aside from the general overly driven into the ground of, you know, shut up and listen, you close your eyes, close your mouth, open your ears, you know, do what you're told. Aside from that is, you know, invest in yourself, you know, invest in gear, you know, and don't just invest in gear because when you times you're going to get paid, like I said. So you need to look into merchandise, and I don't mean like go out and get a bunch of fucking t-shirts made. You can do simple shit. You can fucking just take pictures, get 8x10 pictures done, 5x7, whatever. Sell those at the table. Because that money, that's your shit. Whatever money you make off of that, that's your money. You know, but you gotta invest in yourself. You gotta, like I said, you gotta get the gear, you know, and find other ways to supplement the lack of income from working the show. Because you're not always gonna get paid.
Aside from
that, don't give two shits starting off of what the fuck your character name is going to be or what kind of character you are, because up until you get good and you get the basics down, your wrestling name is Hey You or T. Outside of that, you know, ask questions. Don't sit there and act like you fucking know everything. Don't be, you know, like, hey, So, I've been watching wrestling for years. I'm a fucking legend of this shit. No. And, you know, people, you know, fuck around, you know, we all fuck around with kids, you know, wrestling in the backyard and shit, you know, just, you know, we had brothers or whatever, right? We'd all wrestle in the living room. Just, I know I got grounded a lot because me and my brother used to break my mom's knickknacks from wrestling around in the living room. But, you know, that doesn't count as training. But like Connor said, like, you know, and like I told them, you don't need a fucking ring to learn how to wrestle. I, you know, you could, like they did. They came to my house. I showed them the basics. I showed them lockup. I showed them how to transition. I showed them how to apply holds. The only thing we could not do was run ropes. I don't want to do it all the fucking time, because there is such a thing as filling up your bump card. And when you're working a match, less is more. I don't care if you know 10,000 moves. You could get by having a great match and only do like five or six.
Yeah, I mean, look at, well, Hogan in the United States. Hogan wrestling over Japan is a whole right? different, and the guy could wrestle. I don't care. You know, people can knock him. A lot of people only seen this stuff.
Right.
In the United States, WCW, WWE, but they never seen him wrestle in New Japan.
Now, I will say this. You know, I'm a big advocate on, yeah, Hogan can wrestle, because here's the thing. I don't give a shit, you know, what anybody's opinion. People can hate Hogan and whatever, you know, and everybody's like, oh, it's just because he's the biggest star ever. No, like, he can actually wrestle. You don't get trained by Hiro Matsuda and not know how to fucking
wrestle.
Absolutely.
I mean, for guys that don't know what we're talking about, YouTube, I mean, it's there. YouTube Hogan's matches in Japan. And you'll see what me and JT are talking about.
You know, and, you know, like, you know, going back to, you know, with the young people, you know, coming into the business. Aside from just focusing on your shit and learning your craft and listening and the whole investing. When I say less is more, I don't just mean go out there and, hey, I did six moves, so yay, it's good. You need to learn storytelling and psychology. And if you don't know what those are, you need to look them up. Because without storytelling and psychology, your match is just a bunch of fucking moves that don't make any fucking sense.
That's right. I mean, back to the, you know, five or six, seven moves. I mean, look at John Cena. He's one of the biggest stars in WWE history. I, myself.
Right.
You know, starting at a late age, being at 50 years old, yeah, I'm limited, but I can, knowing the business the way I know now, I can work with it.
Well, you know, going back to Hogan, you know, aside from, you know, just telling people, hey, Hogan can wrestle, and everybody be like, yeah, but he only does three moves, because like you said, everybody knows America Hogan, not New Japan and shit. But like Hogan said before, got three punches, a big boot, and a leg drop. That's all he needs. Why? Because he's charismatic as fuck. He has presence. He can sell. And he can tell a story. And he can do psychology. And if you don't believe me, go watch any Hogan match. He spends 90% of the time on the fucking mat selling his ass off for that fucking heel, regardless of how big or small that heel
is.
Yeah,
I mean, look when he worked Billy Kidman.
Right? He will sell his ass off until it's time for him to make his comeback. And then, hey, we take it home. Boom. It don't matter. We're making money.
You know, and Ted DiBiase had a story when Hogan worked Warrior at WrestleMania 6. And other wrestlers have. Hogan made that match.
Right.
Working with Warrior. So Hogan pretty much, because Warrior wanted to take it home early. Hogan wouldn't let him.
All right.
You know, Hogan's the one who made that match, and
you know, one of my favorite things is you know, Shawn Michaels,
right?
And I know for years you know, you used to tell people basically I'm 1997 Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
I'll go out there and I'll do my shit, and then fucking follow that, right?
Yeah.
But you know, like Ric Flair said, you know, WrestleMania 10, you know, the ladder match of Razor Ramon. That's a great match. You know, that's probably one of my favorite matches. But Shawn Michaels had a match with a ladder. There happened to be another guy in the ring.
Yeah. That's true. Okay, I want to thank you for taking your time in this extra long podcast and telling your story, which You know, I know it's going to be a long time, and but 15 years in the business and a lot of things you've done and the way you helped a lot of these young guys, I knew it was going to maybe go to an extended time, which is fine. I'm glad you got your story out there. And like I said, thanks for being on here.
Oh, no problem. I enjoyed it. And, you know, you already ought to know, for as long as you've known me, put any kind of fucking microphone in front of me and we're good. We're going to get somewhere.
Yeah, that or food.
Right? Go ahead and tell everybody before we sign off of this thing, what's the three fucking things you always tell everybody about JT Storm?
Okay, well, fiber text or call JT Storm. The three things that he's doing. Either he's getting ready to eat, he's eating, or he just got done eating.
And for everybody wondering at home, I ate before I got on the podcast, and I ate during the podcast. And here in probably about a half hour, I'm going to fucking eat again. Why? Because I'm JT Storm. You're welcome. And I can.
And what's the BTY stand for?
Better than you. Today, tomorrow, next year, 20 years from now. If you don't believe me, you can ask me or you can go ask Chris Hex. He found out.
All right, buddy. Well, you stay safe, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to work together in F1P or somewhere down the line, either with you in the ring or with you behind the scenes.
Sounds good, brother.
All right, man. You take it easy. For Better Than You, JT Storm, I'm the American Redneck, Buckshot Jones. Thanks for listening.